Good morning. How's everyone doing this morning? We are going to be talking a lot about salt today. And so by the end of service, we're going to need some good refreshment. So please come not to the lawn, but we are going to have lemonade in the commons. So I invite you to come and be refreshed after the service. Next Sunday, October 6th, is World Communion Sunday. And I find this much more exciting than New Year's Eve, partly because I'm not thrilled with fireworks, but also because World Communion Sunday is a chance to imagine the people of God throughout the world, no matter what time zone they're in, or country they're from, what language they speak, all of the body of Christ coming together and worshiping and taking communion together on the same day. And so there's a lot of hoopla over New Year's Eve, and you see it pass through the time zones and all the celebrations. But I love to think of the same thing happening on World Communion Sunday. At every hour of the day, someone is taking communion and celebrating what Jesus has done for us. So please come next week. If you are not able to come here in person, then I invite you to please go to church somewhere, maybe a place where you have not attended before, something that is less familiar to you. Or if you absolutely must, please try to have some communion elements at home so that you can participate and partake with us. I recommend bread and grape juice, unlike COVID when I had to practice with, what did we do, goldfish crackers and chocolate milk? Not ideal, but whatever you happen to have, join with us next week. On October 13th, the following week, we are going to have our second Sunday fellowship luncheon in Hollis Hall, and we will have our Connections team meeting after. So please come and fellowship with us that Sunday as well. Are there any other announcements for the good of the group? You have an announcement? Oh, okay. Leif says hello. Then as we prepare our hearts and minds for worship, the peace of Christ be with you all.
Please stand for the call to worship. If it had not been for God who was on our side, we would have fallen prey to those who want to harm us. We would have been swept away by sadness and fear.
Blessed be the Lord
who has not given us his prey.
God has broken the snare that took away our freedom.
Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth.
Blessed be God's holy name.
And let us pray. God of courage, you gave Esther the strength to speak out and the intelligence she needed to save her people. Help us to believe that you are still present and active in this world, and that your grace remains as everlasting force in our lives. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. As we prepare, I think I'm on the wrong page here. Okay. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up, and anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, let us confess our sins to one another and pray for one another so that we may be healed. Pray first in silence. And together, we pray. God of unity, we live in a world where our lives move between team and exclusivity. We often move toward the latter, trying to oust from our circles those who do not think like us, act like us, or look like us. Forgive our need to reject and to always be on the lookout for those things that make us different. Give us the eyes of our teacher who knows unconditional love and compassion and sees us all as one. For it is in his name that we pray. Amen. James 5:10 to 20 says, "My brothers and sisters, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and is brought back by another, you should know that whoever brings back a sinner from wandering will save the sinner's soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins." Friends, believe the good news of the gospel.
Be seated. I'd like to invite all the children to come forward. I have something special for you today. How's everyone doing? Okay. Is he getting Lavinia? Okay. We can't miss this, you know. It's okay, I have a little bit of setup to do anyway. How are y'all doing this week? Was it a little bit scary with the storm coming through? Yeah.
Hello?
There was flooding? Oh, a festival got canceled. Was it an agriculture festival? All right. Let's see, I think I'm all set up now. All right, so I have a treat for you all. It was supposed to be popcorn, but they did not have what I was looking for at the store. And so I have peanuts instead. Go ahead and take a cup and we can share if we need to. Can you pass one back? Go ahead, there we go. Yes, you can have one too. And then will you two share for me? Thank you. All right, so each of you take a few of those peanuts. Share with each other. Oh, thank you, Lavinia. Will you share too? Take a few peanuts in your hand and taste them. What do you think? How's it taste?
Peanut butter.
Like peanut butter? Is it sweet? A little like cookies? Yes, sometimes cookies have nuts in them. Do you like it? Yeah, does it taste salty? Not really. These are unsalted peanuts. I was gonna get unsalted popcorn, but they didn't sell any unsalted popcorn at the store.
My friend Jack,
mm-hmm.
He wouldn't be able to eat these because he's allergic.
Oh, do you have a friend that's allergic to peanuts? Yeah, I checked with your parents and grandparents before you came to make sure, because I didn't want to have any EpiPen issues on the floor over here. So yours are unsalted, and I have some salt here. So I'm going to mix it up. And I'm a little concerned that maybe this salt isn't salty enough. So I went on YouTube and I found a, did everyone see this? This was some salt I put right in there in this bowl. This will mean more to the adults in the room at the moment. I went on YouTube and I found a way to season your salt. So if your salt is not salty enough, you can take one of these beautiful little table salts from your table or your cupboard, and you can just add that right on in there. See, the adults are laughing. Why are the adults laughing at me? I'm seasoning my salt, right? I'm adding some table salt right in there. That makes a big difference, right? No. It's just salt. Oh, well, hang on. But then I'm using the wrong kind. I may not have paid much attention. All right, let's see. Oh, here we go. We didn't open the new one, did we? We'll just use the old one. All right, so we've got sea salt then. We'll use some sea salt. That's going to make it much better, right?
No,
you don't bite your tongue. That's not good. It seasoned it. Okay, well, then let's try. Okay, here's sea salt, but it's grinded. Ground. Grind it. Ground. It's ground. I'm grinding it. Yes, we're going to add this in here. See, he said it helps a lot. We're going to add it right in there. See? That's better. Now it's saltier, right? All right, well, I've got one more. This one's really fancy. This one is pink.
Oh, yeah, I've had that.
Himalayan salt.
I've had that salt before.
Yeah, you've had this before? See, it makes a good sound. Can y'all hear that? I feel like I'm in a musical. All right, here we go. We're going to add that. Oh, it changed the color a little bit. Now it's saltier, right? Okay, we got some head nods. Is that saltier? Is it going to change the taste? It's five types of salt. Did I change it at all? No, I didn't. So I'm going to tell you the secret. No, we're not dipping it in. No. That's going to create more than our vacuums can handle. So I'm going to tell you the secret. You cannot salt. You can't change the salt by adding more salt. It doesn't do any good. So if your salt loses flavor, as it says in our scripture passage today, it just loses flavor. There's nothing you can do to add more salt to salt. Salt is just what it is. So I have some questions for you. How would you like to earn a prize today? Yeah? Well, while you're thinking of that, what you can do for those peanuts is change them to salted peanuts. So you can add these if you'd like. You can take those. Now, we're going to take these back to our seats, and I'm going to trust the parents and adults around you to help monitor. And if we need to do some cleanup after, I'll take care of that. Not a problem. Yes? What do you know? You have a prize? Or you want to get a prize? It's okay. You can share. So, after service today, if you can answer this question for me, I'm going to give you some more salty snacks. Some white cheddar popcorn, because that I could find at the store. So here's your task to earn your salty popcorn after service. Notice I'm gearing them up. They're going to be ready for some lemonade later. They're going to be ready. All right, here's what I need you to do. I'm going to tell a story about salt in a few minutes. And it's going to relate, you'll have to listen very closely. Now, Lavinia, if you go back to the nursery, it's okay, you can get the prize anyway. But the rest of you, if excuse me, if you stay in the service, the story that I'm going to tell relates to this picture. Can y'all see that? It's a goat. And it's licking a salt stone. I'm going to tell a story about this in the sermon. If you can tell me that story after service and tell me why I told it, what's the point, then I'll give you your extra salty snack after church. Does that sound good? Does that sound good? All right, will you pray with me? Dear God,
teach us what it means
to be salty,
and help us
to keep our saltiness
so that other people
may come to know
your love for them.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
All right, don't forget your peanuts. Take them with you. As we prepare to hear God's word for us in Scripture, let us pray. Gracious God, your word is our salt. Without it, we lose our being, our joy, and our ability to endure. Open our hearts and our minds to listen, really listen, to your word today. The first scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Esther, chapters 7 and 9. Listen for God's word. So the king and Haman went in to feast with Queen Esther. On the second day, as they were drinking wine, the king again said to Esther, "What is your petition, Queen Esther? It shall be granted to you. And what is your request? Even to half of my kingdom, it shall be fulfilled." Then Queen Esther answered, "If I have won your favor, O king, and if it pleases the king, let my life be given me. That is my petition, and the lives of my people. That is my request. For we have been sold, I and my people, to be destroyed and to be killed and to be annihilated. If we had been sold merely as slaves, men and women, I would have held my peace. But no enemy can compensate for this damage to the king." Then King Ahasuerus said to Queen Esther, "Who is he and where is he? Who has presumed to do this?" Esther said, "A foe, an enemy, this wicked Haman." Haman was terrified before the king and queen. Mordecai recorded these things and sent letters to all the Jews who were in the province of King Ahasuerus, both near and far, enjoining them that they should keep the 14th day of the month, Adar, also the 15th day of the same month, year by year, as the days on which the Jews gained relief from their enemies, and as the month that had been turned for them from sorrow into gladness, and from mourning into a holiday, that they should make them days of feasting and gladness, days for sending gifts of food to one another and presents to the poor. This is the word of the Lord.
Yes, every time I feel the spirit.
you were in Sunday school, the adult Sunday school class this morning, we talked about when God's kingdom erupts unexpectedly. That was one of those moments. That was beautiful. Our second scripture lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, verses 38 to 42 and 49 to 50. John said to him, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward. If any of you should put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good. But if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. If you have spent or plan to spend any amount of time with teenagers, I highly recommend a website called UrbanDictionary.com. It's a wonderful resource when keeping up with modern slang or vernacular language. For example, at some point in the last 6 months or so, my son Leif began using the term bruh around the house. I assumed he heard the term at school, but I wondered whether he was being disrespectful, which is not like, honestly, it's not like him at all, or whether he was trying to call me bro, as in brother. After looking it up online, I learned that for his generation, saying bruh is like when my generation said, dude, which could mean totally awesome or no way. Years ago, when I was teaching middle school, I had a similar situation of miscommunication at our annual teacher planning week. Every year, the administrative team would come up with some theme for the year that was meant to inspire and motivate teachers, to help us get pumped up for the year, and to remind us why we were doing this to begin with. This particular year, well, some of the themes were one team, one goal, or my favorite, teach like a pirate. You should have seen me dress up that year for orientation. Then one year, our assistant principal told us to be salty. Now, at first, I thought maybe this was a continuation of last year's theme of teach like a pirate. But I had this idea that being salty was not actually a good thing. I quickly snuck out my phone and I hid it under the desk and I Googled UrbanDictionary.com and I looked up salty. It said that being salty was getting upset over something trivial, and it came from a term used in the U.S. Navy to describe senior enlisted members who could easily become irritable when encountering new recruits, nitpicking over every little detail that wasn't just right. It might also have referred to those who have been previously deployed and whose romanticized views of Navy life had been replaced with the realities of salty sea air. There was even a musical in 1936 called Follow the Fleet, starring Fred Astaire, who sang, "We join the Navy to see the world." And what did we see? We saw the sea. We saw the Pacific and the Atlantic, but the Atlantic isn't romantic, and the Pacific isn't what it's cracked up to be. So as I looked up from my forbidden phone quest during that motivational prep talk, I couldn't imagine why teachers were being encouraged to be salty. We were already there. Then the assistant principal passed out framed pictures of a horse licking a salt stone, very similar to the picture of the goat on the front of your bulletin. Oh, good, I thought. That's as clear as mud. Finally, the AP explained what this being salty business was all about. Have you ever heard the phrase, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink? Often teachers feel overwhelmed with the work that goes into trying to get kids to absorb all the material that we're throwing at them. It feels a little bit like leading a horse or a goat to streams of cool, ice-cold water, only to have them turn up their noses in apathy. However, if you give the horse or the goat a salt stone, they'll lick it like it's a triple scoop of ice cream on a hot summer day. And guess what all that salt does? It makes them thirsty. Esther understood the need to be salty. In fact, she was a pro at being salty. Her husband, King Ahasuerus in Hebrew, I practiced that a lot, Joanne, as he was known in Hebrew, or King Xerxes in Persia, which is a lot easier. This king was a lustful, egocentric king. He used the people around him, especially women, for his own amusement. Courtly life was treacherous, and life and death could be dictated on a whim. This was the environment that Esther had been groomed to enter, and she did so with a shrewdness that saved her people. When she learned of Haman's plot to exterminate the entire Jewish population in Persia, simply because her cousin Mordecai refused to bow down to him, she went before the king without being summoned, an act that could have easily been a death sentence. She dressed herself to the nines and appeared in the outer courtyard around the time that the king, her husband, would be seated on his throne facing that courtyard. Naturally, the king was pleased by her appearance, so he beckoned her to come to him and offered to give her anything she desired. She revealed Haman's plot to destroy her people and begged for their salvation, but she did so in such a way that she showed concern for how it would affect the king's safety and prosperity. If she and her people were only sold as slaves, she would not have troubled him with something so trivial. But if they were all massacred, no one could repay the king the damage to him financially. She was, after all, only thinking of his welfare. Esther knew exactly the right brand of salt to ignite the king's thirst. It may not have been the salt of peace or righteousness, or of justice or mercy, but the salt of self-preservation did the trick. In our reading from the Gospel of Mark, Jesus said that everyone will be salted with fire. Each of us has our own unique brand of salt within us, and we are to keep that salt well seasoned. Esther's salt was her beauty, her courage, and her cunning wit. Yet Jesus also warns us not to discount someone else's salt or their method of using it. I'm sure you've heard the phrase, "He's not worth his salt." Well, the disciples felt that anyone who did not follow Jesus the way they did was not fit to minister to others, even if they did so in Jesus' name. Maybe especially if they did so in Jesus' name. The implications in Mark's gospel of acting in Jesus' name goes beyond simply acting on behalf of Jesus. I might have taken a stack of letters to the post office on Aaron's behalf while she was on vacation. But that's nothing significant or world-changing. However, when someone acts in the name of Jesus, they invoke the very power and identity of the risen Christ into their midst. In Matthew 18:20, Jesus says, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. I wish I had the kind of salt that felt the full weight and magnitude of that truth every time I prayed or talked about God with friends or colleagues. Unfortunately, it's all too easy to take God's presence for granted. Then Jesus warns that if anyone puts a stumbling block in front of one of these little ones, presumably in front of someone whose faith is new and just beginning to bud, then it would be better to have a millstone put around their neck and to be thrown into the sea. Now, the English here really does a disservice to the meaning. Reading about a little one who stumbles brings up images of a 13-month-old child that's taking their first steps. Now, you wouldn't want to leave toys strewn around the floor for them to trip over, but to be tied to concrete and thrown in the ocean seems a little extreme. However, the Greek implicates the kind of stumbling that would cause a person to be so ashamed that they would have to leave town for the embarrassment they felt. This kind of stumbling block is the trauma that causes a person to lose faith, to give in to sin, and to be diverted away from one's calling or sense of identity as a child of God. To initiate this kind of stumbling block is the very opposite of being salty, and Jesus would have nothing to do with it. When the disciples trivialized the ministries of those who did not follow their ways and were tempted to put up such stumbling blocks, Jesus admonished them not to be so quick to measure the salt in others. See, all salt has power to make us thirsty, and what better to quench our thirst than the living water that we find in Jesus Christ? There are lots of brands of salt out there, and you can find it just about anywhere you look. Perhaps, like Esther, it's kosher salt, pristine and holy enough to use at the Passover meal. Perhaps it is the coarse, unrefined salt that has been newly harvested from the sea, untainted by theological additives. Perhaps it's the salt that has been ground down by trials and tribulations of life, so that it is a fine powder, subtle but potent nonetheless. Perhaps, if you're lucky, your salt has been iodized. Perhaps your salt has been carefully refined using peaceful iodine and joyful electrolytes. Perhaps this salt fortifies your soul against the disease of sin and the deficiency of despair, so that living water may flow through your veins and give you everlasting life. Friends, be salt to those around you, so that each life you encounter may be seasoned and nourished by the love of God through you, and so that all may become thirsty, and that they too may come to know the living water and drink freely thereof. May it be so. Amen.
Thank you.
The word of God read and proclaimed, let us affirm our faith together. This is the good news which we have received, in which we stand, and by which we are saved, if we hold it fast, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, and that he appeared first to the women, then to Peter, and to the 12, and then to many faithful witnesses. We believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus is the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He is our Lord and our God. Amen. You may be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you concerned about those in our country. The storm winds that have passed through and the rains that have come down have left devastation from Florida to Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, and Tennessee. People are reeling from the aftermath. Homes have drifted down rivers. Floodwaters have crept in, creating damage. People are living, even as we speak, without power, running out of food and provisions, unable to get out of their homes and down the streets to safety. God, we ask you to be with those who are first responders, who are braving the uneven roads. The steps that they take may wash away with them. The streets that are covered in sand from the ocean. Doors that have been removed from homes. And first floors that look more like a beach than a carpet. The recovery seems endless. People don't know where it will begin or how long it will take when all of this will be over. And even as we fight through the aftermath of Helene, two more storms are forming in the Gulf, in the Caribbean. God, you are the God of this universe. You have set all of this in motion. And yet, nature seems an enemy at times. We pray that you will guide us, show us the ways that we can step in and help, and give peace and comfort to those who are struggling, and bring sympathy and comfort to those who have lost loved ones. We ask all these things in the name of your Son, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, as we come to our time of offering, I invite you to give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Let us pray. God, we bring you these gifts. What we have was not ours to begin with, but comes from you. Use these gifts to provide aid locally and interstate so that we may be of service to others who are in need of so much. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
God has shown you what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God? Therefore, go out into the world in peace. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And love your neighbor as you love yourself. And know that the strong, sure love of God, the amazing grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the intimate, renewing presence of the Holy Spirit will be with you now and always. Amen.